Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of June, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll check the cash grain situation with Matt Bennett at Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, and discuss the weather forecast, too. That with Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. I don't have the whole of that for you this afternoon. It's a bit longer than the segment, so go online and listen to the Closing Market Report, or just check out the Closing Market Report weather at willag.org. Already posted there some interesting facts from Mike at the very end of that weather forecast. You can find it, like all of our ag programming, at willag.org. That's willag.org. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. The July contract in the corn pit today settled at $3.58 a bushel, down a penny and a quarter. September down 1 3/4 at $3.63 and a half, and December at $3.73 and a quarter, a penny and 3/4 lower. March futures at $3.84 and a half, down a penny and 3/4, and July of next year down a penny and 3/4 at $3.98 and a quarter. From the soy complex, bean futures July contract $9.77 and 3/4, up 8 3/4. August 6 3/4 higher at $9.60 and a half. November beans $9.42 and a quarter. The new crop up 2 1/2 cents. In January at $9.48, up 2 1/4. Next year's July at $9.54 and a half, up 1 cent. Bean meal futures up $2.90 at $3.26.60 in the July, and bean oil at $32.25, 60 cents lower. Wheat futures in Chicago, July contract $4.88. The settlement price, soft red down 3 1/4, hard red down 7 1/4 for the harvest month at $4.98 and a quarter. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $150.60 in the June, down $1.35. The August were down $1, $149.65. August feeders at $247.5 lower, $222.25 the settlement price, actually the last price, and July lean hogs on the last tick, a nickel lower at $77.95. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day, 48 cents higher at $60.40 a barrel. Ethanol down 0.6 cents at $1.46.07. Gasoline on the RBOB, or wholesale price, is 0.7 cents higher at $2.10.07. And diesel fuel, or heating oil, at $1.91.5, up 0.5 cents for the day. Natural gas at $2.79 and a tenth, down 6 4/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at this hour is trading at 18,142. It's up 232 points. The U.S. dollar is down 0.25 at 94.235. And gold futures for the day are currently trading the nearby contract at $1,201.50. That's up $24.75. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. Those will come after 3 this afternoon. Mostly cloudy, high of 84 degrees. A west-southwest wind at about 14 miles an hour. It will gust to 21 this afternoon. Rainfall in the area set at 60%. Tonight, a 50% chance of showers. Mostly cloudy, a low of 65. Winds out of the west at 5 to 8. They'll turn to the northeast after midnight, remain there, and then to the east during the day Friday with a 40% chance of rainfall and an 81-degree high. Friday evening will continue with that 40% chance of rainfall in the area. Mostly cloudy and 67. East-southeast winds by then at 7 to 9, and Saturday mostly cloudy and 86. Winds will come out of the south at 10 miles an hour. Saturday night, another 40% chance of rainfall. That continues on Sunday. Sunday night, Monday, Monday evening, Tuesday, and finally Tuesday evening, just cloudy skies and sunny on Wednesday with a high near 90. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
It is the 18th day of June. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker here on the Closing Market Report, as we are each and every Thursday. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Thanks, Dan, for being with us. I want you to take me through what the numbers look like this week and if anything really has changed and or different on your charts. And maybe we should start with the soybeans.
Yeah, I think soybeans probably have to be considered the most impressive so far that we've seen this week with their advance. I mean, you can take a look at lead future soybeans here. Basically, around Memorial Day, we were around 920. Today, we're going to close here right around this 977, 980 level. So we've had a good, strong 60-cent advance, basically, in lead future soybeans, and that's pretty well has shown up also over into the new crop month November futures. Actually, Monday we had a new low for the year posted at 895 3/4, and today we're going to close out here at basically 942. So we're up 45 cents or so on November. On a weekly basis, those are the November futures is going to have a weekly reversal to the upside coming off of a new contract low that was posted on Monday. And it also has sliced through the previous correction high point, which was done the previous week here when we had a high there around 921 3/4 or 931 3/4. It's the second close above the 50-day moving average for November soybeans. You go over and you take a look at lead futures soybeans. They basically posted a close above the 100-day moving average when you look at the lead futures. So technically, soybeans, you don't know what happens tomorrow, but at least as we speak here, this afternoon, we're going to have very impressive price action to the upside in soybeans, and it does kind of signal to me anyway that we have a major low put in place on soybeans. Soybeans were due for a 37 to 40-week cycle low in this early June timeframe or an upturn, and it does look like that has taken hold now. And if that is the case, then from a cyclical perspective, my biases would be that this market is just getting warmed up here for summer price strength that maybe could take us all the way into the August timeframe. And I think given the lateness of the planting of soybeans, that maybe this June 30th report, the acreage numbers are not going to mean that much. I think it's going to leave a lot of traders still uncertain to what has happened with acres on soybeans since we had like nearly 10 million acres of soybeans yet to be planted as of Monday afternoon. And it doesn't look like much activity has probably taken place this past week. And here we are all the way into June 18th already. So, but, you know, a lot of these soybeans, to my understanding, they can take prevent plant, and then they can turn around and I think plant them again after July 15th. So for the most part, maybe a lot of these acres that are not planted will basically could end up still being planted, but they would have double crop bean potential more so than the full season bean yield potential that they were intended to be 3-4 weeks ago.
Sometimes I'd rather be lucky than good, and as it happens, speaking of good, Daryl will be along in just a bit, and he will take up that acreage number at the end of the month. And the short version is, if he doesn't, like you, doesn't think the numbers will show up in the acreage report, but once those FSA numbers come out, if it shows something between 3 to 5 million acres of soybeans don't get planted, then that really changes the game. But fundamentally, this is where we're beginning, I assume, Dan, and to build a base or a bottom in the marketplace for soybeans. On the flip, go on.
Yeah, that's what the market is reflecting. I think, you know, it's reflecting a couple things. My understanding, if you drive around in the Corn Belt, you're going to see a lot of yellow beans. So the excess rain that we've experienced through many areas of the growing region has set back the soybeans. I don't think soybeans had real good stands in many areas to start with. And I think what the trade will be watching now will be the weekly rating levels. So that'll come out Monday. We'll see how much of a step backward the bean crop has taken. But I think you can begin to shave off yield potential fairly quickly. And, you know, you get soybean yield potential down around 44 bushels per acre or maybe 43. And then, like you mentioned, that Daryl says if the FSA numbers show 2 or 3 million acres didn't get planted, the balance sheet flips quickly from, you know, looking at 500 million bushel carryout, and in maybe some cases people were looking at 600 million, maybe something near 300 million, still a very adequate supply, but the market has to readjust its price alignment because of that big drop in these stocks expectations that has been priced into the market. And then if that's not going to be realized, then, you know, we're going to have to go higher on that.
The corn may be a slightly different story, but I'm not certain which story you're telling at this point. And I only say this because I know that in the discussion I had with Mike Tenora, which you can hear all of online, but not all of later in this program, centers on how much of the Corn Belt really has had too much rain. There's a lot of rain, certainly, and there's a lot of corn underwater, but I think the number was... it wasn't that big. It was 16%, which is a fairly large part of 8 inches or more, 6 inches or more, or 8 inches or more. But if you had 6 inches or more, it starts to drop pretty dramatically. And so I'm wondering where you see that marketplace, because there's still a lot of good corn across the Midwest.
Well, true. And the corn all got planted. I mean, for the most part, you really can't say that acres got dropped because of having too much rain. The excessive rainfall basically began during the soybean planting season. I think you could probably argue that maybe we have lost some corn acres from intentions as, you know, that last part of May was wet in many areas across the Corn Belt. The question is, from what level did you lose that million or that 2 million? And that's always been the big debate. USDA comes out with this preliminary intentions numbers in March. And, of course, those are moving targets depending upon the weather pattern and whether it's in the eastern Corn Belt or western Corn Belt, the southern Corn Belt. And of course, this year we had an awful lot of problems in the southern growing region of late plantings and a lot of corn maybe being switched to milo, sorghum, and or maybe switched to soybeans. So this acreage report that we come out with is probably going to, you know, be pretty close to corn because of the time of year. You know, the USDA probably did carry their survey on into the first few days of June, especially in some of the wetter areas. So it's probably got most of the corn counted, but the soybeans is probably still a big question mark because there's a big intended planted number that may or may not get planted. Now, on corn, a lot of people have been using the higher-end yield of 168 or, 167 or 169, depending upon what they wanted to use. But I think there's been enough weather adversities due to late plantings in the southern growing region, and now we have excess moisture in many areas of the Corn Belt, that you could probably begin to argue, and I know July and August is still to be played out as far as weather goes, and they are probably some of the more important months of the growing season, but you could pretty well argue that maybe this corn yield has slipped back to maybe underneath 165, maybe even 163 or whatever, and it would still be the second highest yield on record. But when you lose 4 bushels or 5 bushels on corn, that balance sheet changes quickly, very quickly, and that is going to be something that the trade will be watching too. Now we're going to kind of get a peek, I guess, of what USDA might give us with the Informa estimates tomorrow. They're rumored to be coming out with a new set of numbers, and of course, they were the ones the last time they came out with some estimates that showed 2.5 million more acres of soybeans than what USDA was recognizing back in that March report. So traders are going to kind of be glued to what Informa acreage numbers indicate, and they'll kind of take their clues from that probably, depending on how we're going to close out the week tomorrow.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Well, today the House narrowly passed Trade Promotion Authority. The chamber voted 218-208 on TPA. That'll give the president some latitude to negotiate a 12-nation Pacific trade deal sought by most Republicans and a small number of Democrats. That bill, by the way, now heads to the other side of the rotunda where the Senate will have to pass it a second time before the two chambers engage in a process of volleying back and forth several other amended bills in legislative language, including trade adjustment assistance and an amended trade preference bill that extends the African Growth and Opportunity Act. The House and the Senate will also ultimately have to, of course, reconcile the two versions of the customs bills.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. We'll know a lot more about where the price of soybeans is headed at the end of this month. Still, it's useful to understand how price arrived where it is today. Last fall, USDA projected there would be about 475 million bushels of soybeans left over by the close of the marketing year. That's this fall. Remember that number, 475. The agency has trimmed that number back over time, and this month the target is 330 million bushels. Usage has been really strong, and it's important to remember, says University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good. But it didn't change the balance sheet very much in this one month. Over time, it has, however, been really supportive to the price of soybeans, keeping them above $9 a bushel on the board. Demand has held the bottom end of the market. Supply in the coming marketing year, on the other hand, is the problem at hand. The June 30th acreage report is supposed to help clarify this matter. The spring rains, especially in Kansas and Missouri, may cause that not to happen, says Good.
The June acreage report will be interesting this year because I think, particularly for those two states and perhaps for more states, because it will, in fact, still reflect some intentions for planting for those acres that were not planted as of survey time. So how will producers report those intentions? Are they still planning to plant all the soybean acres if it dries out, or have they already made decision to abandon and go to prevent plant? So even after we see the June number, I think there's going to continue to be some uncertainty about where acreage will actually come in. And so beginning in August, September, we'll start watching the FSA prevent plant acreage report to see if we can tweak the June number.
A tweak of 3 to 5 million acres of prevent plant for soybeans, thanks Darrell Good, would be enough to change the balance, shifting the overwhelming supply of soybeans that so far appears to be coming, consequently now pegged at 475 million bushels, just like last year, to something far more supportive of price. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain market. On the line with us, Matt Bennett. He's at Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. Matt, thanks for being with us this afternoon. First, update me on the farm there in Windsor. What are conditions like on the ground?
Yeah, down here, we've been fortunate on most of our farms and not gotten any of the really big rains. We maybe had a tenth today. I think we had 3/10 yesterday. For the week, we've had maybe an inch. So, we're not flooded like some people are. But, if we get one of these big rains, definitely going to fill all the ponds up. But for the most part, right now, we look really, really good because we've been able to dodge some of the bigger ones.
Have you been traveling and seen much this week or talked to many farmers in other geographic regions about what conditions they're working under?
Yeah, I've talked or emailed with people from pretty much everywhere. I mean, I think the best report I've gotten from anyone has been in Minnesota. Guys have been telling me pretty well across the board that they're feeling really good about their crop, best they've seen in years. As far as guys in Iowa, it's a mixed bag. Some of the guys like in northeastern Iowa are talking about excellent crop, and you get in southern Iowa, especially southwest, and it's a train wreck just in that area, that we've talked about, like with northwest Missouri and eastern Kansas and Nebraska, same thing. But, I think that the crop is good as a whole. It's just not, in my opinion, I don't think it's anywhere near trend line crop right now as far as even potential goes.
And for the soybean?
Well, I think with beans, they don't really like wet feed. I mean, we've had over 10 million acres yet to plant as of Monday's report. And, I don't know. To me, we really need to get some drier weather and hopefully get most of these beans planted. I think they were low on bean acres in March, so I'm not so sure it's going to be a super bullish number, because I think that we'll probably come out with a fairly high number anyway here for the June 30th report. But I want to keep in mind, there's going to be beans in the bag that are still yet to be seeded, I'm sure, even when that report comes out. So it's going to be one of those that we're going to have to kind of take with a grain of salt.
Have you talked with enough producers to know whether they will continue to try to put soybeans in the ground in some of those areas of southwest Iowa, the northwestern part of Missouri, and that northeastern corner of Kansas?
Yeah, I've talked with several guys, and the general theme up until about a week ago was, hey, we're gonna hold off on taking prevent plant as long as we possibly can. I think this week, if they end up getting a bunch of rain out of this tropical storm, I think some of them are probably going to be close to throwing in the towel, but I don't think that nearly all of them will. I just think it's going to probably get a few guys to go ahead and say the heck with this, because they've just been inundated with moisture in that neck of the woods, as we all know.
Yeah, I was thinking that I was watching the track of that storm, and it didn't look like it was going to dump on them. However, earlier this morning, if you looked at the radar, you saw that, of course, that there was a development of a storm in the Omaha area, and my guess is it must have passed over them, so I don't know how much rainfall is. I'm looking at the radar at the moment they actually got. But it will be interesting to watch, and we have to take all these fundamentals into account as we make our way through the next several weeks and into that June 30th report, don't we?
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think as we go into that report, obviously the stocks report can be a pretty interesting one as well, because we've had a wide variety of guesses as to where we're going to end up on stocks of both corn and beans. So that's going to be probably a little more of a volatile report than maybe what we've been looking at here the last couple.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. Back in two.
It's National Cherry Tart Day. Sweet cherries date back to prehistoric times in Asia. By the way, that story about George Washington and the cherry tree is more fiction than fact. Parson Weems attributed the anecdote to an aged lady who was a distant relative and, when a girl, spent much of her time who referred to George as cousin. Really?
We cannot tell a lie. It's also International Picnic Day. In Europe during the 14th century, the earliest picnics were medieval hunting feasts in England, featuring hams and other baked meats as well as pastries. Picnicking really came into its own during the Victorian age. Picnics, as Americans know them, date back to the middle of the 19th century. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Edmund Ruffin died. He was a pioneer in the study of soil chemistry in the U.S. Ruffin investigated the possibility of using lime to raise pH in peat soils to improve agricultural productivity. In 1892, macadamia nuts were first planted in Hawaii. In 1981, the first genetically engineered vaccine was announced by USDA. The vaccine, using gene splicing, was designed to prevent hoof and mouth disease. And in 1993, African honeybees killed a small dog in Tucson, Arizona, and were dubbed by the media as killer bees. Their original source was from crossbreeding with tropical African bees imported into Brazil for experimental work. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's take up the weather forecast now with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, thanks for being with us today. Interesting weather patterns for the year. Seasons vary from one year to the next. This one is wet and has been really wet. I think the wettest May on record, maybe the wettest month on record for the whole of the United States we just went through. And now in June, we've had an awful lot of rainfall. Kind of recap where we've been and where we stand and what might be coming.
Well, most of the rain that we saw last month was centered off in the plains from Nebraska south through Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Some of those states, especially Oklahoma and Texas, set records for the wettest May in at least 121 years. And in Kansas, the key wheat-producing state for the United States, it was only the number two wettest, but only by about a quarter of an inch. So we're talking about a very wet area that happened in May, and that's part of the reason that we're way up there compared to historical normals last month. Now, for this month, most states have been wetter than normal once again. It's not nearly to the level of what we saw just a few weeks ago. But it is wet, and it looks to stay wet going forward. We have the remnant of Tropical Storm Bill moving through Oklahoma now, and that'll curve on into the southeast Corn Belt. Most of the heavy rain with that will stay to the south of Interstate 72, with the heaviest totals probably right along or just north of the Ohio River. This takes place over the next 3 to 4 days, so it won't happen immediately. And it will rain on and off until the system actually passes. So just kind of a wet period in the southern Corn Belt. But keep in mind, Todd, last June was the wettest in at least 121 years across the heart of the Corn Belt. So we're talking about Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Nebraska. If you combine all those states together and look at last June, that was actually the really wet June. This June, although it's wet, is not to that level yet. It will take quite a bit of rain for that to happen, even though it will have been wetter than normal. If we just look at rainfall over the last 30 days, only 4% of U.S. corn production and U.S. soybean production, for that matter, received at least 10 inches of rain over the last 30 days. Now, much of that has occurred in the last 2 weeks or so, but just looking at it that way, 4% doesn't strike you as a really large number. 16% of each crop, though, did have at least 8 inches of rain. So now we start to get into a slightly larger proportion of corn and soybeans that might be too wet. And when you add areas of rain and thunderstorms over the next 7 to 10 days, you could argue that it is too wet out there. And we're certainly receiving lots of reports from that from people on the ground.
So how much rainfall do you see and where over the next 7 to 10 days?
We're just saying widespread amounts of 1 1/4 inch to 2 3/4 of an inch from the northern plains through the heart of the corn and soybean belt. So a lot more rain is coming. This pattern will probably turn a little bit wetter before it turns drier. And the main reason for that is that we do have a bubble of heat that will quickly expand from the desert southwest all the way eastward into the U.S. southeast. Along the northern fringe of that, which is where we live and most of our corn and soybeans are produced, we'll see strong thunderstorm clusters from time to time. And because of that, we do look for widespread coverage of above average rainfall until this pattern breaks sometime next weekend.
So we're only 12 days to the end of the month of June, approximately, and I know this varies from spot to spot geographically. How much rainfall would we have for this to be the wettest June on record?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, we need around 7 inches of rain to get to the record. At the state level for 7 or 8 different states, that seems pretty unlikely. If you just look at Illinois alone, as of Tuesday, we had about 5 inches of rain just in Illinois. If we add on, let's say, 2 to 3 more inches, that would put us in that 7 to 8 inch range for the month of June. But that's only Illinois. This type of rainfall is representative of Illinois, Indiana, and parts of Nebraska and Missouri, but really isn't that representative of Iowa or areas further to the north. So it's doubtful that we'll get all the way to that type of rainfall number, though we'll be close to one of the wetter on record. I don't think that that is much of a question, but as far as an extreme all-time rainfall event, it doesn't look like that's unfolding, at least for this month.
And so on the tipping point, at least for the corn crop at this time, soybeans too, I suppose, given the amount of rainfall we've had, but not quite there yet. It'll be interesting to watch as it all unfolds during the next several weeks and couple of months. Thanks so much for being with us. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great afternoon.
That, of course, Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.